For example, if I get convicted because, let's say, I told a lie to the telemarketer and I said, you know, I was, that person wasn't home or something like that. It's just something I said because it was inconvenient to talk to them or I didn't want to be bothered. And then the Holy Spirit convicts me and says, there'll be no liars in heaven. So the phone rings and it's a telemarketer. Now I can just pick it up and say, I'm not interested in talking with you, but, you know, Jesus loves you anyway. I'll pray that you get a better job. Love you. Bye. Okay? No problem. No big deal. But if it's spiritual and you come into a situation and they'll say, your spouse says to you, where have you been? And you lie to them. And then you leave and you feel convicted. And you say, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to do that again. But then somebody else asks you something and you lie to them. And you find yourself lying even when you don't need to lie. Not that you ever need to lie, because you never do need to lie. You just need to trust God to bring mercy and work. Then that's spiritual. Now you got to go a little deeper and find out, when did I let that thing in? And then you're going to have to fast it, okay? So you can, with God in you, fast, which means don't give in to anything. And what you're doing when you fast something is you're making it weak. You're making it weak. And boy, let me tell you, when it gets weak, that's the time to get deliverance. How do you know that it's spiritual? It's still talking to you even though you're not giving into it. Your soul's not going to talk to you that way. Holy Spirit's not going to talk to you that way. So something's talking to you that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? So for example, if you gave up cigarettes and you didn't smoke for a few months, but you kept, you know, dealing with issues, and all of a sudden the cigarette starts talking. Take that, you know. What's it going to hurt? You're having a bad day. What can one hurt? It actually starts having a voice. Do you know what I'm saying? That's not you. You're in agreement that you never want to smoke again. You don't want to put false glory, if you want to call it that, because, you know, the temple of God is filled with the glory of God, which is a cloud. It's smoke. The Bible calls it smoke. So what do you think Satan wants you smoking for? He wants to put his nasty glory in you, which brings death. It's just a mockery that we are the temple of God. We have teaching on that too. We have teaching on everything, just about. If I don't, I will probably by the time you hear this. So what you do is you say, wait a minute. It wasn't that hard not to smoke for a while. Yeah, because God poured out his grace because you were dealing with something. He was helping you get free and you were finding out how much he loved you and this and that. But you never really went after that root issue of rebellion. You never really went at the roots. It's always going to be bitterness or greed. And you never really dealt with that thing. And now that you know who God is, you've got some teaching. Now it's time to go after the root. Get rid of the lie that caused the rebellion. Get rid of the lie against God. That's what bitterness is. And then say, I don't want anything to do with this ever again. And when you get that thing out and you get that spirit that's attached to that thing out, I'm telling you something, you won't even be tempted to smoke. That lust will be gone. So that's why it's so important that we go beyond the initial, oh, look, I'm free. And we go to God and say, Lord, show me exactly the root to this, you know, which is always going to be bitterness or the love of money. They're the two roots in them. And show me the seeds. Show me how this got in. And let the Holy Spirit begin to reveal those things to you and teach you those things and get completely free for real. But remember, fasting is casting it down. I'm not giving in. Doing whatever you have to do to say no. If you've got to be around friends, if it's sexual temptation, then don't get in that situation. Whatever it is you have to do, do it. But recognize what you're doing. That's not the life you're going to live forever if you want to be victorious in Christ. What you're doing is you're fasting it. You need to see it as a spirit that's trying to make you do what it wants. You need to see it almost like a baby having or a little kid having a temper tantrum. And you're going to have to say, you know what? I'm not listening to you. I have authority over you. I will not give in to that sinner. I will not smoke. I will not do that thing. Even as you go to God to get stronger in Christ, get free, you know, really, it says when you've done all, then stand. The problem is the church stands too soon. And when you get to that place where you're like, no, you're not taught, you know, I'm not. And I'm not saying to talk to the devil because that kind of empowers them sometimes. I'm just saying in your own knowing, no, I'm not giving into that. I'm going to look to you, Jesus. Thank you, the author and finisher of my faith. Thank you, Lord God. I only want the glory that comes from you. And you begin to speak the word of God as a sword. And we talked about that at the beginning sessions of this teaching. He is a sword. It's Jesus himself going out going, stop. This is my daughter. This is my son. No, you have no authority. And he's a sword. Jesus is the word. Release Jesus into the situation. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper in the name of Jesus. No, if you only can remember one scripture and repeat it over and over and over, then do it. Because the sword is powerful. He who's begun a good work in me will complete it in Christ Jesus. He who's begun a good work in me will complete it in Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Get out your sword and whop that thing until he recognizes. First, you have to recognize it's not you. It is a spirit in you. Then when you recognize that, you can separate yourself from that thing and see him as the enemy. Oh, this guy's got to move out. He does not belong in a temple that's been dedicated to God. And the Holy Spirit's going to go, yes, I've been sent to get him out, to sanctify you and make you holy. Now begin to listen to me. Begin to operate in the things I show you. And the temptation then goes away because the lust is dealt with. The truth will set you free. You'll understand why you did that thing, where rebellion came in, how you were angry with God. And all those things will happen. You don't have to get all, God will bring it to pass. You just have to be open. Holy Spirit, show me, teach me. Show me what teaching to get. Show me what tapes, CDs listen to. And don't listen to people who are telling you, oh, you don't have to do all that. You know if you have to do all that or not. Maybe they're not struggling. Tell me, people, quit being stumbling blocks. Satan's done different things in each person's life. The line of iniquity, which is your forefather's sin, it's different in each person's life. We're not to compare ourselves to one another. What might be easy for one person wasn't the same spiritual bondage that it is for somebody else. We're to come alongside and build each other up and edify each other, and we're to tear down what the enemy's done. That's true ministry. All the time, lifting up Jesus, lifting up Jesus, lifting up Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So I want you to see here, you have to deal with the lust. You have to deal with where the flesh wants its way. You have to deal with the lies that cause that temptation to be there. You have to fast those any spiritual bondage there until you see that thing so small, and then get it cast out in the name of Jesus so it's gone. And that doesn't always mean somebody has to lay hands on you. It means you know that you know in the name of Jesus, you renounce that evil thing and you command it to go in Jesus' name by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them only come out with fasting and prayer. Jesus says so. Some of them, you have to confess your sins to one another, and he's faithful and just to forgive all sin. Sometimes you have to break the power of the shame and publicly confess it or in a small group. That's why we do our altar calls on Tuesday night many times. It's amazing. It's like when there's no shame, Satan can't keep you there. You know what, devil? You and I aren't the same. And you're vacating. You know, this is my temple. I got to stay living here. My soul's staying here. My spirit man is staying here. The Holy Spirit is staying here. He's been invited in, but you're out. The welcome mat has been taken in. You do not get to stay. And that's deliverance. Somebody who was welcomed is no longer welcomed. He's recognized. See, the key is knowing it's not you. Let's see. Okay, let's go back up and just finish this in James 1, though. So we see, wow, how do you know when you really have victory? Because you count it all joy. I mean, Deborah, let's be real. When they told you you had cancer, you weren't counting it joy. And when you got through all the fear and all the things you went through and all the feelings of that whole thing, you weren't counting it joy. But when you went in and those doctors went in and did the surgery and found no cancer, and you came out of that and they said, we've got something to tell you. We made a terrible mistake. As much as you'd be angry that you went through all that, there was too much joy to be angry. My God healed me. Because not only is it awesome to get the healing or the victory or the deliverance, it's also awesome to know God is that real. And that takes away the fear. Man, his perfect love, if he got me through this, he will get me through anything. All I have to do is love him. Well, I love him more now than I ever loved him. Look what he's done for me. I'm going to keep my eyes on him, and I'm not going to be afraid of the enemy, because the same God who got me through this is the same God who will get me through any attack of the enemy. So I count it all joy, my various trials, because I'm going to mature in this trial. How do you mature in the trial? I get to know Jesus more. I understand his ways more. Some of you wouldn't even be listening to this kind of teaching had you not been in a trial. You'd have just kept your nice little boring life. living like the world and using the name of Jesus. And I tell you, when you overcome what you're going through, you're going to count it all joy. Satan, what you meant for evil, God has turned to good. To know God like this, to have that peace of knowing him, to know that I'm so loved by him, to know how great and wonderful he is. You forget the mess you went through. As Paul says, I count it all but loss. I count it all but dung, he says, to know Christ. You'll really get to that, no matter how difficult what you've gone through is. I count it joy. It was horrible that I was so hard-hearted. It was horrible, all the greed in my heart. All these things that were wrong in my heart, I had no idea about, that the enemy used to help set up to kill my daughter. But you know what? To get free from all that junk, to know she's eternally with Christ forever and I'll see her again, to know that God is bigger than this, and then when the enemy's attacked again, to grab onto this God and know he's faithful and know his word is true and learn who he is and know him intimately, one-on-one, knowing I'm going to be the bride of Christ. Whoa, I tell you what, I count it all joy. Some of you have already had some of that breakthrough. Some you've already seen, wow, the things God is setting in order in my life. The getting to know him, to seeing things change. Folks, this isn't about you just getting through something. This is about you getting to know God. And that's why you count it all joy. And it's sad that it's the trials that bring us there more than anything else, but that's because we enjoy living in the flesh so much. We hang on to those lusts. Our trials, we count it all joy when we fall into these trials because we know that the proving of our faith is going to work patience. We know that our faith is going to be proved in this. We're going to break through fear. We're going to break through relying on self. We're going to learn to trust God. And as we break through that, we're going to have that patience. We're going to have that peace that we can have in the midst of a storm, in the midst of what's going on, because we know that God is going to work it together for good. And then we're going to add to that patience. It's going to have its work in us, that perseverance. Many times it's called perseverance. It adds to faith, perseverance. Perseverance means, if you look up the word perseverance, you go through every horrible obstacle that Satan could possibly put in your path to still come out on the other side knowing that God is faithful. It's like everything that could go wrong and everything that could try to stop you is then allowed to come to see if you really believe God, to see if you really trust God. I had to kill everything in you that shouldn't be there. So when you get to the other side, not only do you still have faith in God, but now you know him. Now you understand his ways. Now you recognize how this kind of works. You recognize the schemes of the enemies. You've cried out to God. You've seen his faithfulness. You understand him more. And that builds your faith. That does a perfecting work in you because you want to be perfect, mature, and complete, lacking nothing. So you understand these trials come because of the lust, but the trials come because of the things of the world that we've bought into. But the trials, if we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we'll all walk through them. It doesn't say anybody's excluded. The key is getting through them as an overcomer. And then look at the rewards in the book of Revelation. That's another whole teaching that we're not even going to do on this series on spiritual warfare. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask from God. That's powerful. Who gives freely with no reproach. He's not going to say, that's so stupid. What do you mean asking me that? You know, God has never told me that's a stupid question or stupid request. And we know in the natural, people tell us that all the time. Our parents have told us that. Teachers have told us that. Sometimes even to the point of humiliation. The enemy does that, so we think we can't ask God. But I want you to know something. God is never going to think that your question is silly. He's never going to put you down for asking. He says, ask freely. Just ask freely. Do you know what it means when you see a scripture where God's telling us to ask? He wants to talk to us. He wants us to run to him before we run to five people on the telephone and get at least three of them who want to tell us why we can't have our miracle. I like to go to God first and really hear from God first and get it in the word first. Whenever I get hit by anything, I run to God first. I really try to do it and say, Lord, show me, show me. I don't even open my mouth usually until he has revealed something to me from his word and shown me. So nobody can come and try to take that from me. Then I watch who I talk to. I watch who I tell what's going on. I've gone through things before where I didn't almost let anyone know because I knew some of those people wouldn't be able to believe, and they'd begin to curse the situation not meaning to. And we're going to talk more about that spiritual law when we get into that teaching. Okay. God will freely give you everything you need to get through whatever you're going through, folks. Sometimes it's going to be in the form of bringing you to another Bible study. Sometimes he'll introduce you to a new teacher at ministry. Sometimes he's going to have the right answer when you turn on the radio or whatever. It's not always he personally going to talk to you and give you personal revelation. Many times it's going to be he's going to lead you and talk to you through someone who he's given the answers to. So you can't say how he has to do it. I'm not, and thus God tells me. No, sometimes you have to start walking it out while you're asking for wisdom and believing he's going to give it to you. Let him ask in faith. That's the key, isn't it? Trusting God. Getting healed in the broken places. Letting God, getting all the wrong thinking changed. Getting all that taken care of. That's the key. The key is we've got to get all of that out of the way so we can ask in faith. And faith is really trusting in God and trusting in his word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God and also by the personal relationship with God. It's both from reading the word and hearing by the Spirit of God. And that's going to build our faith and build our faith. So remember, we're asking for wisdom. The Holy Spirit wants us to ask, but then he's got to build our faith to a place to believe. He wants us to not doubt at all. That's, you know, we got a teaching on getting free from doubt. There's even spirits the enemy can give you to make you always skeptical and doubting. And so you want to be free from all of that so the enemy doesn't cause you to negate all that God is doing in your life. And we have a lot of teaching to help you with faith. It says, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea being driven by wind and being tossed. For do not let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-souled man, not dependable in his ways. So I just want you to see, you've got to become free from double-mindedness, from believing one way when you're in church and another way when you're in a trial. So if you were the devil and you wanted to make sure these people were not going to get wisdom to have answers for every single thing, you would make sure those people were double-souled. In other words, they're led by their emotions. They're this, they're back and forth. They're this and they're that. And they don't really know what they believe. You know, the enemy can make them hypocritical. He can make them so they believe this one day in a good meeting, but they get outside. And it's like Satan has injured people. So they're stuck in their mind. Sometimes they have problems maturing. They still revert back to their childhood. They still act like a kid about certain things. Satan has done all of those things purposely in your life so that he could make sure that you could not get direct wisdom from God and overcome every error in your life.